So us Sweet Betty Dot Shirley and me got together for a girls' night out last week, per usual. Betty was hosting, and she whipped up a batch of her marvelous Marcel bars. Oh, God, to die for. I mean, what's not to like about something that's made with not only an entire bag of chocolate chips, but a bag of peanut butter chips, too? After wolfing down one with a white wine chaser, Shirley goes, "Thanks, Betty. I needed that." "Tough day," I ask. "Not one of Minnie's better ones." Minnie is Shirley's mom. Lives in the mother-in-law apartment Junior attached to he and Shirley's house. Shirley's one of five and the only girl, so you know how that goes. Caretaking always falls to the daughter. Minnie's a nickname, though she's had it so long I can't remember if I ever knew what her given name is. Cause Minnie's called Minnie because she's over 6 feet tall. Betty asked, "Did she leave the stove on again?"
"Nope, we disconnected it, thinking of getting her an easy bake oven."
"Poor dear," Rita adds. "What a good cook she was. Oh, I still remember her butterscotch cream pie. Oh, boy, that homemade butterscotch was a slice of heaven, huh?"
"Nothing like it."
"How long has she been living with you now, Shirley?" I ask.
"Been what, 2 years? That's a kicker. Just when I think she's all settled in, she'll have a day like this one where she keeps asking to go home. Over and over. Can you pass me another one of them chocolate peanut butter thingies, will ya? What do you call them?"
"Marvelous Marcel bars."
"That they are. Thanks, dear. Anyway, twice this morning, I put her in the car, drove round the block, then announced we were home. That usually works."
"It's all new, all the time," Celeste says.
"Not today. She still wouldn't settle down." "Geez," Dot asks, "what'd you do?" "Well, I asked her to find me a purple cantaloupe in the fridge. That kept her busy for a while. Then, just like that, she was fine."
"You're a good daughter, Shirley," I says.
"Pshaw. Enough about me. What's up with the rest of you?"
"I got a funny one for you," Celeste says, along the same lines. "Happened to my dad day before yesterday. You know he's got that lifeline, right?" For the uninitiated, lifeline is the thingy your senior wears around their wrist and neck so that if they fall, all they have to do is press a button and help is on the way. Rita goes, "Oh, my mom's having none of it. How'd you ever talk him into getting one?" "Well, with the lifeline, it's a two-talk deal. First, you have to talk him into getting one, and then you have to talk him into actually wearing the darn thing." "Oh, ain't that the truth?" "Took some talking, but Dad's pretty good about wearing it now. He's got the one that goes around your neck. Now, you know my dad's a good sleeper, right? That he can doze off morning, noon, or night after 2 cups of high-test coffee. God, Betty says, I wish I could sleep like that. Anywho, he's kicked back in his recliner, watching the tube, napping, really, when all of a sudden there's this commotion. He wakes up to find the EMTs with the stretcher right there in the den."
"What, did he set off the lifeline by mistake or something?"
"I guess. Bet that woke him up quick," I says.
"Don't know who was more surprised, Dad or the EMTs."
"Classic," Betty muses. "It's always something, isn't it? How about getting them to admit they need hearing aids?"
"Oh, that's another two-talk deal. Getting them, then getting them to wear them." "Oh, how about using their cane?"
"Oh, I've given up on that one. Mom's just too proud. Makes me look old," she says. "It helps to go to the doctor's appointments with them," I say. "That way, you can ask the question, like about the cane, and someone else gets to be the bad guy." "Still," Rita says, "we're lucky to have him with us." "That we are," Dot sighs. "I hate being an orphan." And Rita pats a hand. Shirley adds,
"As hard as it is with Minnie sometimes, I'm glad to do it. We have some laughs, too, I gotta tell ya."
"It's a gift, really. They were always there for us." Shirley goes,
"Certainly gives us something to yak about. Now, top off my glass, will you, and pass round those marvelous whatevers."
"We may need to shut you off, Shirley," I says.
"Heck, I've only had a glass and a half of wine."
"No, I was talking about them Marcel bars. That's it for now. Catch you on the flip side.